Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can I respect all our young friends to come forward, please? Sabazar se guzarish hai ki namaziyon ka khayal rakhte hue aage tashreef le aaye. Come closer, please. Brothers on the far right, please come in the center, please. There's a lot of space in the middle. And sit close together. Brothers in the back, please come forward. Unless you have a disability, then we'll allow you to sit to the back. Otherwise, please come forward and join the majma. Sit close together. There's a space in the middle. Come together. Inshallah, we'll begin today's session with the recitation of the Quran by one of our HIF students, Hafiz Ilyas.
فإن لم تأتوني صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, Jazakumullah khair. Can I request the brothers again once more? Please come forward, please. Brothers on this side as well, behind the pillar, please come forward. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. First of all, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favors that he's bestowed upon us. Allah has also allowed us to gather in his house on this blessed night. And today, alhamdulillah, we're very fortunate to have a very, very special guest, or I'm referring to our most honorable and respected Sheikh Bilal Saab. Many of us probably haven't heard about him before. So I'm just going to do a very brief introduction. First of all, Sheikh, he completed his hifz at the age of 11, and he went on to study the Alimiyah course in Darul Ulum Bari in the 80s, and then he moved on to Kurangi, Darul Ulum Kurangi. And they, in the company of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, he stayed many years. And alhamdulillah, he's a graduate of MBA, LLB, also MANB in Arabic and Islamic Studies. He's also, as advertised on the poster, member of the Board of Advisors at Usmani and co under the leadership of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib. Sheikh is also the honorary consul and state advisor to several heads of states and government officials. He's also a British judge at the International Arbitration Courts, and mashallah, there's many other awards that he was gifted. He got the gift of the Freeman of London Award. Also, he was also awarded the winner of the Sharia Scholar of the Year at London Sukuk Summit, and he was also given the Global Islamic Economy Award amongst the 500 most influential personalities. And alhamdulillah, he's also an international speaker in different conferences. But for me, what's more inspiring is, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Saab Mutala, rahimahullah, and Hazrat Mufti Taqi Saab Hafizahullah, they have been our respected guests, mentor throughout their lives and throughout his life until now. I guess through the barakat of their companionship and their sohbat, I think Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with whatever he's been blessed with. So now I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that allow us to benefit from him and grant us many more opportunities. This is the first, inshallah. And hopefully I've requested him that if he could give us some time in Ramadan as well, where he could come and he could benefit us. We ask Allah ta'ala to preserve him. We ask Allah ta'ala to allow the masses to benefit from him, his knowledge and his spirituality. Now, inshallah, without any further delay, I request our respected Sheikh to come forward and enlighten us. Also, one point I forgot to mention, he's a hafiz of thousands of ashars of Allama Iqbal. Last time we had a session with him, and mashallah, every statement he was mentioning, he was given a shawahid from Allama Iqbal's poetry. Hopefully, inshallah, he'll share some with us as well, inshallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حاميم والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين وعن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله تعالى ليطلع في ليلة النصف من شعبان فيغفر لجميع خلقه إلا لمشرك ومشاح رواه ابن ماجه ورواه أحمد بن حنبل عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما وفي روايته إلا اثنين لمشاحن وقاتل نفس وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I would like to first thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed not only me but all of you in this gathering and those at home with the ni'mah of Islam. We don't appreciate it, but it is the most important ni'mah that we have. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Islam wa kafa bihi ni'mah. That all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mah of Islam. And if this was the only ni'mah, it would suffice. We don't see it. And Quran is full of this. So Alhamdulillah, we should all say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You see, hamd and praise isn't just mere words. That can be symbolic. That could be lip service. But hamd and praise is a state and a kayfiyah and a hal and a maqam. If you have that state and a feeling inside you and you live in that state, then you are in a state of shukr and hamd. And then there is the third state, which is the outward manifestation of that. That is hamd of Allah and shukr of His people, creation. Only when you have that triangulation of hamd, not just one element, we say thank you. In the Western Hemisphere, you find people merely expressing the word thanks and they think they have thanked somebody. That is not the way in Islam. Islam is a whole walk of life, a way of life. And that is what? It's not just the physical side of anything that we do. It's not just the mental or emotional side, but there is a spiritual dimension, which is the real ruh of our deen. And if that is missing, then we only have the legal form, the letter. We don't have the spirit or the substance. And if you don't have the substance and spirit, you have nothing. It's a bit like having a Coca-Cola bottle and you have Fanta inside it. Only a fool will call it Coca-Cola. Unfortunately, a lot of us are on the register as Muslims and many places. But we need to have introspection and look at ourselves and say, are we really Muslims? Do we really appreciate it? And this is the state that we should be in. The first is thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always. Number two, we are grateful with the wasila and the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, we would not be what we are today if we were not part of his ummah. Many prophets wanted to be part of his nation, his ummah. We don't count our blessings, but we are, alhamdulillah, very gifted and blessed that we are part of his ummah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, alhamdulillah, we are here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, we read jama'ah, namaz, prayer together. MashaAllah, it's a blessing. It's a huge blessing. Salatu qurratu ayni, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the namaz and the prayer is the coolness of my eyes. And we are in ahabbul biladi ilallahi masajiduha. In the most beloved of Allah's places is masjid. And we are in one of the best times, which is كَانَ أَحَبُّ الشُّهُورِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَسُومُهُ شَعْبَانَ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's favorite months where he fasted would be Sha'ban. And I will talk about it later on. So with so many blessings, it's nurun ala nur, creme de la creme, light upon light. How many blessings can we count? لَا أُحْصِي ثَنَاءً عَلَيْهِ كَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَىٰ أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ. We cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He is worthy. And this is part of a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, has done in this night. Which is, أَعُوذُ بِعَفْوِكَ مِنْ عِقَابِكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِرَضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَتِكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ. One riwayah. And the other one is, لَا أُحْصِي ثَنَانَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنِيتَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ at the end. And there is different ahadith which say, Allah min ya'udhu bi radhaka min sakhatik wa bi mu'afatik min 'uqubatik wa a'udhu bika mink. لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. لا أحصي. I cannot encompass or begin to even cover praising you. Forget thanking Allah, even praising Him. You can only do that. What befits you? Allahu Akbar. And this is a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing when Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said that I was searching for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one night. Talabtu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dhat al-laylatin. I was seeking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one night because he wasn't there. Yeah, in my bed, fi farashi. So can you imagine? One of the most powerful narrators is his closest companion, his wife. This kind of narration you would never have got from Anas ibn Malik or Abu Hurairah or Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Umar, all of the prolific narrators. This is a wife. That's why his wives, each one, if you look at their lives, Aisha, Khadija, all of them, amazing. So she says, I looked for him. طَلَبْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ فِي فِرَاشِي فَلَمْ أُصِبْهُ. I looked for Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my bed one night and I couldn't find him anywhere. فَضَرَبْتُ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى رَأْسِ الْفِرَاشِ. So I hit my hand, you know, I'm trying to look for him as you poke in the dark, on my bed, on the head side of my bedding. And bedding is not going to be one thing, a bed like we have, the comforts that we have. This is most likely on the floor, right? But just the head side. And what did she say? فَوَقَعَتْ يَدِي عَلَىٰ أَخْمَسِ قَدَمَيْهِ. That my hands fell on his soles of his feet, or one of the toes of his feet. فَإِذَا هُوَ سَاجِدٌ. Allah. And where does he find him? This is the man whom Jannah was guaranteed for. لَوْلَاكْ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ إِلَّا الْفَلَاكْ. If it wasn't for you, this heaven and earth would not have been created. Allahu Akbar. That being. Allahu Akbar. And how much can you speak about him? So she says, my hand fell on his sole of his feet and I found him that he was in prostration. Sajda. It was this night. It was this night. And what was he saying? The words I just said. أَعُوذُ بِعَفْوِكَ مِنْ عِقَابِكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَتِكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ. رَوَاهُ النِّسَائِ وَقَالْ هَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ. This is a sound narration before anybody jumps up and says all these narrations are weak. Remember one rule, that narrations can be weak in terms of either narrator or the chain, whatever. However, when it comes for fada'il, blessings, virtues, merits of something, you can use hadith which are weak in narration. And sometimes hadith which are related by so many people, so many narrators, even though technically, academically, from the literal science of the chain of narrations, that may be weak, it is classed as sound hadith. And even if you drop that, you look at our aslaf. Hazrat mentioned Maulana, Imam Sahib, he mentioned the buzurgs, the pious people, not too long ago, even now. These people's lives. I was just listening to Maulana Bilal. Hazrat, he used to be in Darul Bari. 50 years of his life, he hasn't missed this night worship. 50 years, he's saying. This is a living scholar. We're not even talking about scholars who are passing, Allahu A'lam, what they were doing. Ibn Taymiyyah, our brothers who are Salafi, say that these narrations are weak. Even he says, if you collect all the different narrations, they come to a position that they can't be weak, collectively. So what they say is that this is a sound position. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Ibn Taymiyyah, many scholars. So people used to do this. In fact, this night starts on Maghrib. You see, our night comes first. So when Maghrib namaz was done, salah, that's when the night began. And our aslaf, our scholars used to read particular a'mal, especially after Maghrib. I don't know who's read it in this gathering, maybe some have. MashaAllah, it's not in a hadith. But remember, some things are proven. From a hadith, it is written that Prophet ﷺ used to pray a lot. He used to pray profusely. So our scholars have done this amal. Even Maulana Ali Mia, Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahimullah, used to do this. And he mentioned his father. The family used to do this. Which is after the three fard of Maghrib, then you read two sunnahs. Thereafter, in two units, you read three times. Two, two, two. Like the awwabin, you read six nafal, and the first one you need read with the niyyah of long, healthy pious, righteous life. And when you finish these two rakat, you read Surah Yasin and a particular dua. That's neat to me. Then two more rakats with the niyyah of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep me, my family, and those affiliated with me and everybody away from all kinds of afflictions, calamities that may befall me or have befallen me, and Allah relieve me from them. And again, the same practice. You read Yasin at the end of these two when you're sitting, and then do a particular dua. And the last, you do it with the niyyah that, oh Allah, make me only dependent on you and free from everybody else's dependencies. It's a very big thing, by the way. You know, we are dependent on families, we're dependent on the state, we're dependent on so many. You know, muhtaji is a very big thing. In fact, there's a word in Arabic that we don't realize is in hadith. Rasulullah SAW used to dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al haram. Not haram with a ha, but haram with a ha. The eyes ha. If you look at, this is when you're about to die and you've got all these pipes and tubes in today's day and you're dependent on somebody feeding you from here, there. This is haram. Dependency. Life of dependency. See, we cannot do justice to one word of Rasulullah's hadith. One statement. One word from Prophet Sallallahu It is so multidimensional, so multi-layered, so multifaceted. Which way do you look at it? It creates multidisciplinary areas that you can even specialize in. Allahu Akbar. So I was saying this is a very special time, a blessed day. And we should, it is said that in this night, today, this night, everything is already written and predestined and decreed, right? In Lawh Mahfuz. It is predestined. However, from there to the lower sky, it is sent via angels, the next year's decree, death, rizq, all of these things. So if you are found in a good state, doing ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. There are many ahadith which I will go through, that if you read them and you ponder over them, you'll be baffled. That Allahu Akbar, look at the meaning and substance of this ahadith. What does it mean? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's from Ali radiallahu anhu, إِذَا كَانَتْ لَيْلَةٌ نِسْفِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ. When it used to be the night of the middle of Sha'ban, i.e. the 15th night, which is tonight, right? Because now night comes first and then comes the day. He says, when this comes, min Sha'ban, from the month of Sha'ban, فَقُومُوا لَيْلَهَا وَسُومُوا يَوْمَهَا. You should stand in its night and you should fast in the day, i.e. fast tomorrow. Let's look at it separately. Where is the hadith for fasting on the 15th particularly? There is weak narrations. But you can look at it from different point of view. You can prove it from the fact that Prophet ﷺ fasted profusely in Sha'ban. So it is covered there. You can cover it from 13, 14, 15, from Ayyamul Bidh. So no matter which way you look at it, the fast is there. So, and fasting is a good thing. If you fast, it cleanses you from all the inner spiritual issues and problems that we are having today. So he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that stand in the night and fast in the day. Why? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَنْزِلُ فِيهَا. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He comes to us. Now, we don't say He descends because our meaning of descent is something else. It's going down, descending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from that. Literal meaning is that, but it means in terms of the real meaning, it doesn't mean that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you full attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَنْزِلُ فِيهَا لِغُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ, from the sunset which is now gone, إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, to the lower sky. So we have an opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And فَيَقُولْ, He is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling out, أَلَا مِن مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Is there somebody, is there no one that wants to be forgiven, that I can forgive? أَلَا مُسْتَرْزِقٌ فَأَرْزُقَهُ. Is there somebody who is seeking rizq, sustenance, money, jobs, all of this, financial needs, that I cannot bless him? Ala mubtalan fa uafiya. Is there anybody who is afflicted with some calamities, with some worries, that I can relieve him from that? Ala kaza, ala kaza. And so on and so on. Allah is asking us. He is asking us when it's our job to ask. Allah is coming to us. And they say, حَتَّى يَطَّلِعُ الْفَجْرِ. This happens all the way, like Imam Sahib in his second rakat read, which was obviously related to Laylatul Qadr. سَلَامٌ يَحَتَّى مَطْلِعُ الْفَجْرِ. Laylatul Qadr and Laylatul Bara are very close in blessings. And my teachers used to say, the people who want Laylatul Qadr, start now in Laylatul Bara'ah. If you start worshipping Laylatul Bara'ah, you inshallah, you will, with Allah's blessing, the barakah will be there that you'll get it. You will obtain Laylatul Qadr as well, inshallah. So this is how the Sahaba were. This was their amal. You see, there is a hadith which I mentioned about Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anh. He relates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith, which is in Ibn Majah. And in that hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَطَّلِعُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is open to us, comes to us. He is coming to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking for you, for your attention, and we are asleep. Where's Allah? فِي لَيْلَةٍ نِّسْفِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ. In this particular night of the middle of Sha'ban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيِّ خَلْقِهِ. Allah, He forgives every single creation of His. You see, He didn't say فَيَغْفِرُ لِخَلْقِهِ. فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ. He forgives every single creation, Allahu Akbar, except two people. إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ وَمُشَاحٍ. Mushrik is somebody who is a polytheist, who partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not just idol worshipper. Remember, shirk isn't just the shirk jali, which is open shirk, that you partner with Allah, you have worship, you don't go to temple, okay. But if your focus and you are spending the entire day and your hopes, everything is impinged on someone else or something else, in a way that is also your God. Right? You look at yourself. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا. As Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, you hold yourself to account. Look at yourself, ask yourself this question, who do I turn to when I have a problem? Doctor? Others? Friends? Family? Something else? And when everything fails and you don't get no answers and solutions and you're about to die, this astaghfirullah is like Fir'aun when he's about to die, yeah? Right at the end he says, oh, now I believe in Allah. Now you turn to Allah. This is not the way we deal. This is not a real Muslim. A Muslim is somebody who puts Allah first. Before you pick up that paracetamol, before you do something, our ustaz and our teachers used to teach us, before every action, you should make niyyah and you should do dua. Right? You should say, why are you doing it? And say, oh Allah, make this easy. Why do the teachers umrah duas? Why do the teachers fast duas? To get us into the practice. You know? Oh Allah, make it easy for me. Oh Allah, accept it from me. Oh Allah, place barakah in it for me. Allahumma yassirhu li wa taqabbalhu minni wa barik li fi. Why? This can apply to everything. Before you start in your car, you want it to be easy. You want it to be accepted. You want to be blessed. We don't. We have left our Sharia and Sunan as compartmentalized, just for some rituals. If we carry on this way, we will be like the other people from the other religions, who are just doing things, rituals for just certain days and certain times. The reason why Sharia is there, the philosophy of Sharia, the overriding objective of Sharia is to get you into the habit, to make ibadat your adat, so that it's second nature. Even if you are unconscious, you still don't want to leave Allah's commands. This is what a real Muslim is. So the first person is somebody who does shirk with Allah, partners with Allah. So we should make sure that we are free from this. And second person is somebody who is what? Somebody who is hateful, vengeful, quarreling, arguing, breaking relations. This is a big problem. In today's time, you look around, unfortunately, everybody is here somehow with some family member or somebody in the masjid or somebody in the neighbor, they've got an issue. So brothers, there's no forgiveness for you or sisters unless you ask forgiveness from that person. You have to ask forgiveness from the person. Even Allah will not forgive you unless you ask forgiveness from that person. So make sure you take this hadith seriously into your minds. And then take it from there. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal has related another riwayah from Abdullah ibn Amr bin As radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah is the son of Amr bin As, who is the conqueror of Misr, Fatih Misr. He says that Prophet said, Mushahin and Qatil Nafs. Basically, not somebody just who is hateful and breaks relations, but also somebody who is a murderer. So very, very careful, brothers. See, Sharia is very serious about these matters. So again, we need to think properly. Again, another hadith Prophet ﷺ related. I'm going to share the hadith. My words are not important, right? And what I will say doesn't carry any weight. I can add some kind of interpretation to it. I can break it down. But I want to share with you golden nuggets from the collection of the Prophet ﷺ's prophetic traditions, his statements. What more? I went through hadith. When Maulana told me to speak about the importance of 15th Sha'ban, I went through hadith. I found so many narrations to aside and kalam on the narration to aside. There's so much ahadith on this night, and I don't see people taking it seriously. When you start to not take deen seriously, these days and these moments that Allah is giving you, then seriously, brothers, we are devoid, we are mahroom. We are mahroom. And you cannot be mahroom or matrood. Somebody who's rejected. Somebody who misses out on the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sharing with us. There are people who go to Makkah and Medina. Astaghfirullah. Right? And I don't know, because we are not here. We don't know what the state of a person's amal is and whether it's accepted or not. But they go there and they are missing salah. They go there and they spend more time in Bin Dawood. They are making excuses that even this is haram. This is haram. And they're reading salah everywhere. They spend more time doing shopping. The same. So this is, see, you go all the way for Hajj and Umrah and do you do this? Astaghfirullah. Same with Ramadan. You find people spend hours and hours. Our sisters and mothers, I tell you, and I tell the brothers here, please don't put pressure on them. Ramadan is nothing to do with pakora or samosa or kebab or these things. And they're spending hours preparing for this, where time is missed from reading Quran. Ramadan is not the time to feast, it's the time to fast. We're getting it wrong. We put an E in there, we made it feast. It's a time to fast. And fasting requires fasting from everything. Do you think at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ it was this much eating? You go and look at the hadith on fasting, on iftar, on his suhoor ﷺ. You will see he had a date, just a date. Maybe just some milk was there, he just drank that. We are having 3, 4, 5 course meals. You see, this is not the purpose. You are defeating the purpose. Because when the stomach, Rasulullah said, all illnesses are starting from the stomach. When you fill your stomach so much, then you have got no tawajjuh, no shauq, no desire to do ibadat. The nights are there. Every night of Ramadan is going to be blessed, just like tonight. But if you've got a full stomach, you're going to feel lazy, tired. Yeah, you're going to feel lazy and tired. In hadith, Prophet ﷺ says, خُذُوا مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. خُذُوا بِالْعَمَلِ خُذُوا مِنَ الْعَمَلِ and خُذُوا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ. Imam Muslim says, خُذُوا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ. You should take and do good deeds, مَا تُطِيقُونَ, as much as you are capable to do, whatever is possible for you to do. مَا تُطِيقُونَ, whatever you have taqat to do, you should do it. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, in one place says, لَنْ يَمَلَّ Hatta antamallu. Allah does not tire from giving you reward. You may get tired. See? Imam Bukhari says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَمَلُّ. And Imam Muslim says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَنْ يَمَلَّ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. Allah does not tire from giving you reward. He is wanting to shower you with blessings and reward. It's us. And the way it happens, as I said to you, everything is about planning and preparation. If your planning and preparation is all about eating and feeding and talking about food all day, our buzurg and our ulama and our scholars, even in living time, read 40 to 60, even more khatam of Quran in one Ramadan. Can you even imagine that? 40, 50, 60. How do you think, if there's 30 days, how can you do that khatam? Basically, they may be doing 2 khatam of Quran a day. Yeah. Khatam of Quran. I know a person kind of related to family, and he was sadly passed away. He was 95 years old. He used to teach Bukhari for most of his life, and before he had one cup of tea, he used to read 10 juz of Quran in the morning. Lifetime, not just Ramadan. See, there are people like that. So you and I are not 95 year old brothers. How many juz of Quran do we read? This is what Ramadan is for. It's not beautiful talking for tonight and you go away. It's about, what is your plan? Have you got a schedule in place? You need to go home, each one of you and sisters at home and mothers, write a plan down. Whether it works or doesn't work, you have to have a plan. If you have a plan, inshallah, something will come of it. The plan is, how much Quran am I going to read? Right? The second plan is, how much zikr am I going to do? Zikr, whether it's the third kalma, any other kalmas you like, istighfar, Prophet ﷺ, durood shareef, salawat upon Prophet ﷺ, du'as, that has no restrictions. Dua is sitting and just doing dua. Anytime you want to do dua, you can do dua. And most important than this, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahimullah used to write, there's two things called Takhliya and Tahliya. He says Takhliya is cleansing and Tahliya is beautifying. You never beautify yourself or anything, decorate a house or building, if it's the structurally damaged, if it's not clean. If you're sweating and dirty, you're not going to go wear expensive clothes and expensive perfume. You will first do Takhliya. You will cleanse yourself. And we don't just mean physical cleansing, we mean even spiritually. And the way to do that is istighfar. You have to do abundance of istighfar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in hadith mentioned that minimum he used to do 70 times istighfar and he's forgiven. Why does he need to do it? Because why shall I tell you something else? Not many of us think of this from this direction. When you do dua, when you do tawbah and istighfar, forget your sins from tawbah. What are we expecting? We expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. Yeah? So what are the possibilities? Just logically. Either he will forgive or he will not forgive. There is possibility, yeah? One thing there is guaranteed. When you ask forgiveness, you get sawab for asking. We don't look at it from this perspective. Anybody who does istighfar, anybody who seeks something from Allah, whether he grants him that thing or not, he will bless you for asking him. We don't realize this. So there's sawab for just asking alone. And then it's Allah's hikmah. How he forgives you, when he forgives you, what he grants you, when he knows what is good for you. The timing, when, how, what. We need to get into this habit of asking forgiveness. Cleansing ourselves, our souls. When we cleanse our souls, inshallah, and today's time, brothers and sisters at home, very important for cleansing is, if I may say, I hope you allow me to say this, is you need to make a deal with your mobile. Because the biggest problem today's time is the mobile. So what you do is very simple, right? And try it for one day, just tonight and tomorrow. Because it's a blessed night followed by a blessed day. Let's see, this is like a pilot run, a test run for Ramadan. Try it, brothers. It won't kill you. Switch off your Wi-Fi and 4G. Just leave text messages and phone calls. Text message and phone call. Because that means somebody who's absolutely necessary to contact you will call you or text you. There should be no WhatsApp or any apps or any internet downloading, anything at all. It's weekend anyway, by the way. Right? And then we have this night. What do you do at night? Nothing. You don't need this on. And there's radiation coming from phone, this electromagnetic field. So switch off this. Switch off all electronic devices at home, tablets, TV, anything you have. Switch it off. It's a big distraction. Forget the health problems that you're going to have, radiation and all of those things. There is all this ADHD. What do you think ADHD has come from? In all these kids that go nowadays to school, they're getting diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit disorder, whatever. There is all of these things. Where is this coming from? Screen time. So much screen time. So much technology in our lives. That is a health problem. An addiction. It's a very big addiction. People can't do it. When they wake up in the morning, they don't even look for their glasses. They don't look for anything else. They don't look for their topi. They don't look for anything. They don't look for chappal. They look for their mobile first. You ask somebody what you don't want to lose, they don't mind anything else being lost, they don't want their mobile to be lost. So we have put everything in one basket, all the eggs are in one basket. Tomorrow, God forbid, if something happened, like COVID, and whole this time not health, but technology went down, because that's where they're taking us. Artificial intelligence is coming, AI, big data. When that comes in, slowly, slowly, it'll take over your life. They already, the Bank of England has introduced digital currency consultation paper, which means the money, the fiat money that we have, pounds and coins will be gone, the bank cards will be gone, everything will be digitalized. Even the currency will be digital. And you know what can happen. Because there's also, this is cyber, yeah? Cyberspace. In cyber, there's cyber crime. And when cyber crime happens, you will be wiped out. This is very good preparation for Dajjal, because he will need a lot of poor people to bribe. And they can wipe you out like this. They are working towards that. Everything. All the supermarkets will be shut down. They're going to do home deliveries. Already you realize this. When you go Asda and Tesco, you use your phone to pay. People are delivering home. They're going to use them as warehouses only. All the banks are going to close their branches. Because you don't need it for money. You don't need ATM machine. You don't need bank branch manager. You just have everything on the phone. So can you imagine everything happening on the phone? And then all the problems of the phone. Technology problems. Health problems. Distraction problem. Even brothers, if you try to download Quran, Tilawat of Quran, a Sheikh, or even the app of Quran, there is things on the left and on the right and the bottom and the top saying, press this, press this. You know what I'm talking about. All the dirty and things. So this, how can you have haya in your eyes? in this night, if you don't switch this off, you will be having access, accidental or not, inadvertent or not, you are getting this sin. Why are you allowing yourself to have sin in a night which is blessed? So this is a sin. Prophet ﷺ has said in a hadith that the person who deals with pictures, makes pictures, gets pictures made, whether it's literal, electronic, digital, all of this, unless it's necessity, doctrine of necessity is something else. الضَّرُورَةُ تَتَقَدَّرُ بِقَدْرِهَا. Unless it's necessity, having pictures is not something that we Muslims should have. Not only in hadith it says that لَا يَدْخُلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَيْتًا فِيهِ كَلْبٌ وَلَا تَصَاوِيرٌ, that angels of rahmah don't come to your home, mercies doesn't come to enter your home where there is a dog or where there are pictures. And you go to our homes now, astaghfirullah, they look like temples. If you go to a Sikh temple, you will find one picture here of so and so. We have got our granddad on this side, we have got father here, we got mother here, that's my childhood photos, that's my school photos, that's my graduation photos. Every house is littered with this. Now you tell me, why is mercy not entering our homes? Yeah? And we have photos everywhere on our phone. Everywhere. We've got galleries and all these albums and everything. Home, phone, cameras, everywhere. Now, brother, you can get some Maulana to give you an excuse and give you a way out. But this inside should be telling you. And especially at least, you know, they call something called detox. What does detox mean? You clean yourself, right? People do a detox. They also have a spring clean in their homes. So what about the spring clean for tonight? A detox for one night alone. Just to see how good are you. Can you live without this stuff? You should wean yourself off it. It's not good to be dependent on something that could collapse tomorrow and you will have no life. So what did I say? Technology problems. Health problems. Then look at the pictures. Look at the content. Every single thing that's there is nothing but problemsome. If you say there's some good, I can download Quran, I can listen to Quran. Very good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even says in Quran that about khamr, about alcohol, about other things, about gambling, that there is some benefit in it as well. فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. That there is some benefit. Even if you go and look at it this way, and you want to look at benefit and cost analysis, you can look at pig and say there's some benefit. I'm sure there is some benefit, right? But we don't look at it that way. Look at the bigger picture. What detrimental impact is having on our lives. Today I see that a lot of our generations, family, older ones and young ones, are, you know, stuck with this. And you have all of these problems. There is a lot of family breakdowns today just because of TikTok alone. Just because this brings bad relations at home. It brings doubts between relations and families. You know, one small thing and somebody could have doubt about you. And shaitan wants to, is waiting for that moment. So brothers, the first thing I would say is not just cleansing. In olden days we say cleanse yourself, do istighfar. You can do istighfar and have your phone there and still be watching all of this. And you can say, I didn't watch you on purpose, but it's coming all the time. So you're still getting sins, right? This is a sin. The other thing you need to worry about is how you are dressed. Our dress code is very important as well. The dress should be according to Sharia. Prophet ﷺ says in another hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even look at that person whose lower garment is below his ankles. Yeah? ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. Allah will not look at them nor even cleanse them. And one of them is what? Musbilul Izar. A person whose lower garment is below their ankles. You might think it's just a bit of fabric. Brothers, if Rasulullah said it's wrong, it's wrong. You might say this is a few hairs, that's it. Few fibers of hair. What do I care? You might say it's only a few. Why does Islam is so pedantic and is so literal about these things? Islam is a way of life. If Allah has told you something, it's for your own good. So we should be very careful about the hairstyles that we have, the way our beards are, the dress code that we wear. You know, it's very important. Your satr should be covered when you're going down into ruku and sujood. It shouldn't be revealed. And not only that for salah, but outside salah as well. Now, if your clothing is right, your mobile is switched off, I'm going slowly, slowly by here, and you're not going to spend most time outside for tomorrow, inshallah, tonight and tomorrow. So there's likelihood that you're not going to see much haram, inshallah. So your eyes are protected. You're not going to be listening. Your ears are protected. Your mouth will be protected because you're going to keep it busy with reciting Quran, with dhikr, with Durood Sharif. Or you'll stay quiet. If somebody tries to talk to you and you feel they're talking about somebody, say, brother, I am fasting. I don't want to talk. Just try to train yourself one day. It will be very difficult on your nafs. Because we're not used to it. We're used to listening gossip all the time. Home, we think it's innocent gossip. So-and-so went there, so-and-so went there. This is all ghibah. It's all backbiting. It's big haram. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Ghibah is worse than fornication and adultery. It must be, if Rasulullah said it. It's deadly. It's a deadly sin. It will kill you eventually. Ghibah, it starts from ghibah, backbiting behind. It brings hatred about that person that you're talking about. And slowly then it goes to other things. So Islam cuts things, nips it in the bud. Cuts it from the root. Doesn't allow you to fester any problems in society. These things are not small, brothers. The sins that Islam targets are the sins of the heart. The sins that fester in your heart and blacken your heart. We don't go miles and miles all the way to Makkah and Medina just for a journey so people can call me Haji or something. Or come to masjid and people look at it. In Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam time, even the munafiqs used to come to masjid. They used to read salah in the first row. They had big, big beards as well. You see? We have to be very careful, brothers. We have to be very careful in our akhlaq, our dealings, our financial transactions. Today, if you can get a penny from here, a pound from here, and they didn't find out, or you got a little benefit from it, you think, oh, winners, keepers, or finders, keepers. Is it really? You should not have that attitude. You should have your dealings very clean. Because on the Day of Judgment, you will have to give hisab for everything. You will have to give hisab for every single thing that you do in this world. So on this night, brothers, it's not just about standing up and reading long, long salah. Of course it is, mashallah. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read a long salah, long ruku, long sujood. And lots of Quran. But it's no good reading Quran. It's like having a lots of money and you got a hole in your pocket. You're putting money in, but the whole money keeps going out. You're losing the money. The same thing. We're doing good deeds, but at the same time, we've got a big gaping hole. There's leakage. It's leaking, leaking. So all the money is gone. All the deeds will be, by the morning, will be gone. Because you watch one Netflix movie, one something wrong. You say one thing haram to somebody. What good is all that Quran tilawa? Yeah? So brothers, you can't. This deen isn't something that you can pick and choose. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Islam is something you've got to devote yourself to and enter fully. Aisha radiallahu anha relates. Kanat Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, Lam yakun an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yasumu min shahrin akthara min sha'ban. Akthara min sha'ban. Fa innahu kana yasumu sha'ban kulla. Wa fi riwayatin kana yasumu sha'ban illa qalilan. Muttafaqun alayhi. Imam Bukhari Muslim have related this hadith that Aisha radiallahu anha says that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast in no other month as much as he would fast in Sha'ban. And in fact, sometimes he would fast the whole of Sha'ban. Sometimes illa qalilan, a little bit, few days left. So you see how important it is, the fasting. What does fasting mean, by the way? You know, they say nowadays as well, fasting. I'm fasting. That means abstinence, abstaining. We don't just abstain from food and water and relations with our spouses. That is outward. However, if you're not abstaining from ghibah, if your eyes are not abstaining from the haram that you're seeing, if you're listening to music with your ears, where's the abstinence of the ears? There's no roza of the ears. Yes? Didn't Maryam alayhi salam, was when she told that to fast and not to speak to anybody? Why is that connected? Fasting and not speaking. Fasting isn't just about this. Isn't just about what goes in. It's about what comes out. Very important. We don't look at it, deen, this way. If you have this lens, the perspective I'm giving you, you will feel the power of fast. Now we fast Ramadan, we fast Muharram, we fast in Zulhijjah, we fast in Sha'ban, we fast in Mondays and Thursdays, we fast Ayyamul Bid, we do all the beautiful fasts. And we do lots of salah, mashallah, everything. But there's no jaan, no ruh in our salah. How is it that they used to read 2 rakat and change the destiny? How is it that they're reading Quran and things are changing in front of them? The enemy used to turn away. How is it that the beasts of the jungle used to turn their back for the Sahaba and show them the way? Forget Sahaba, even Uqbah bin Nafi', the conqueror of northern Africa. He says on his journey when he was conquering the whole of Africa, on the way they found beasts. And they, rather than being frightened, they told them, we are the army, we are the people of Allah. They turned around and showed them the way. Could you imagine that? Today people are scared of cats and dogs. There's a little ant or a fly in the house, and oh, the woman and the men are shouting, oh, and you see what's happening. There's a little spider in the corner. This is the people today. You see why? We have no iman inside us. When you have no iman, what will happen? Other things. Because no place, no utensil, nothing, no vehicle is left empty. Everything is always filled. If it's not filled with the love of Allah, with iman, with a'mal, then we'll be filled with wrong things. So I said, Aisha radiallahu anha said this. Look at another hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha. She says in another hadith, an Aisha radiallahu anha, قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم حتى نقول لا يفطر ويفطر حتى نقول لا يصوم. He used to fast so much that we thought he will never ever break his fast. When is he ever going to stop? And when he, someday, sometimes he didn't fast, and we thought, will he ever fast? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't just a fast, but I'm going to carry on with this hadith. This is not just the first part of the hadith. And she says, وَمَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I did not see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam استَكْمَلَ صِيَامَ شَهْرٍ قَطُّ إِلَّا رَمَضَانٍ. I did not see Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast a full month, end to end, like Ramadan. Okay? وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ في شهر. I did not see him fast in any other month. Are you seeing? أكثر منه صياما في شعبان. I did not see him fast more than Ramadan in any other month. So why? Except for شعبان. Again, Prophet ﷺ fasted in شعبان. Not just the 15th, every day. So brothers, why? If you fast a lot, with this way I mentioned, with your eyes and ears and everything closed from the world, then you will feel the blessings of fast. Then your world will change. Then when you lift your hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something will be granted. Now, lots of brothers will ask you and sisters ask the ulama and others, you know, I'm praying for this, give me a wazifa. What wazifa do you need? You know, people ask you for wazifa, give me something to read. I say to them, if you had the real iman, even Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is enough to get you something done. Yes, it's the taqat of your iman. You know when you had jinn and jadu and all these things that people come and worry about today, that I'm possessed with these jinns, or I'm possessed with some magic. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He only read Qul a'udhu birabbil falaq, Qul a'udhu birabbin nas, ayatul kursi, and some ayat of Quran. He didn't have these things written here and put there and all of that. Because deen isn't about this. Bury this and burn this and light this and do this. You're going to go mental like this if this is your life. Life is simple. So fasting in the true fashion. Another hadith I will relate to you, which is absolutely important also to think about. And Umm Salma radiallahu anha relates that she says, مَا رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I did not see the Prophet of Allah, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يَسُومُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ إِلَّا شَعْبَانَ وَرَمَضَانَ. I did not see him fast for two consecutive months, back to back, like this, two fingers, except for Sha'ban and Ramadan. So brothers, we are now almost up to 15. I'm asking it rhetorically, how many of you or me have fasted in this month? How many days? One day, 2 days? So how are we close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How are we going to show him our face? When it comes to the crunch, we're nowhere near. We're not following his ways. He fasted profusely in Sha'ban. Alhamdulillah, I can tell you, I did not miss one fast till today. MashaAllah. Why? Because if we're going to sit in this chair, I've got to be worthy of it. If I tell you to do miswak, there's a miswak in my pocket. If I tell you to wear imamah, I've got it here. If I tell you to, we have to. If we don't, what's the point? There's no influence in my words if I can't do it myself. Alhamdulillah. So this is not, I'm telling you for tahdith bin ni'mah. You know, as a shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try our best. We are weak human beings. Alhamdulillah, I have read Quran in the day khatam, a Quran at night khatam, alhamdulillah. I have read the entire Quran in one rakat of namaz as well, mashallah, la quwwata. This isn't just about Uthman bin Affan and Imam Shafi. I'm not saying I'm worthy of them. But what's the point me hearing it and just telling you stories if I can't practice it? My wife was standing in the room. It was Ramadan, last Ramadan. From the time of the Taraweeh till the time of Suhoor, I read it all, alhamdulillah. And in second rakat, I read one juz as well, alhamdulillah. This is from Allah. We have to do this, brothers. If we're not going to do what's worthy of it. When you go there to Medina, you read 10,000 durushi a day, alhamdulillah. We don't mess about. No point having all of these. Our buzurgs and our great scholars were great because they did great deeds. A lot of them. even though they were giants. Ilm is nothing, brothers. Nothing at all, knowledge and these degrees and graduations and certificates and titles and positions, if you don't put the good deeds in there. You have to really burn yourself. For Allah Azza wa Jal, if Rasulullah is doing it, who are me and you? If the Sahaba did it, who are me and you? Why are we not doing our good deeds? Why do we do very minimal? That so-and-so is a namazi, reads five namaz. We are doing the very minimal. Can you tomorrow say, everybody is doing the minimal. Come with something extra. You should make an effort to say, tonight and tomorrow at least, inshallah, every single fard in masjid, every single nafal that's possible, I will do it. I will do the three tasbihs, durood sharif, istighfar, third kalma in the morning, durood sharif, istighfar, third kalma in the evening. I'll read one juz of Quran in the morning, one juz of Quran in the night. One juz is nothing, brothers. Even if you did it at a slow pace, you do it one juz in 1 hour. Very slow if you did it. But can you imagine? This is Allah's kalam. Allah is speaking to you and you don't know what's going on. It's very sad. Brothers sitting here and sisters at home, read namaz every day, mashallah. May Allah accept your namaz and my namaz. But how many of you know what you're saying? You don't need to go become scholars, but at least learn the translation of what you're saying. You're speaking to Allah, you don't know what you're saying. That's why you're doing alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Because you don't know what you're saying. If you knew what you're saying, if tomorrow His Majesty, the King of UK, called you to Buckingham Palace, you will be dressed in a certain way, you'll learn all the etiquette, how to address him, all of those things, and you won't speak like this. You will speak in a certain way. Everybody will do. Forget that. If you go for a little job interview to work in Greggs or something like this outside, or Specsavers, even for that you get all polished up and every single thing. And for Allah, we don't do anything. We come in dirty clothes to masjid. From straight from work, we come running here. You don't clean yourself. You need to spend time, have a separate jubba or separate shalwar kameez, something different. Get out of these clothes. The English clothes, keep them for outside. For the masjid, come dressed nicely. Wear a lot of perfume so the angels are here. People will be smelling you nicely, inshallah. Do miswak. Look nice. Clean hard. Make an intention. Learn the du'as of coming into the masjid, du'as of going out of the masjid. What are these du'as for? It's so sad, brothers and sisters. The entire collection of Rasulullah's du'as, which are for every moment. Who practices those? People say, Bismillah wa ala barakatillah, if they remember. And alhamdulillah at the end. Where is the du'as? Who knows the sleeping du'a? Who knows the waking up du'a? Who knows the rain du'a? Who knows the cold weather du'a? Who knows this du'a? Who knows the milk du'a? Who knows the drinking water du'a? Who knows how to... Brothers, go and learn it. The only few words, the beauty of my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his du'as are very small and very powerful. He's taken the pressure off you. You don't need to think of what shall I ask Allah. He's done it for you. Wallahi al-azim. I swear by Allah, there is nothing that you need that is not in the Quran, du'as of Quran or du'as of hadith. I never need to ask in my own words. Unless obviously I have a special request to Allah. But it is all covered. In every dua. If I start now in the next 5 minutes, I can read you every dua, you'll be surprised for protections alone. Alhamdulillah, we know this, we learned this. Every dua that starts with A'udhu, Na'udhu, I memorize them all. One by one, I can say all them to you. Every dua that starts with Alhamd, I memorize them all, Alhamdulillah. All dua that start with Rabbi or Rabbuna, Rabbukallah, all I know them all, Alhamdulillah. And if you want to test me, you can test me, Alhamdulillah. Why? It's not a challenge of my memory, it's my shauk and my love. When you love someone or something, you want to adopt everything. When you love a football team, you want to wear its colors. You wear its shirt, your number. You want to show people the stripes that you're wearing. You wear your shirt, your heart on your sleeve, as they say in English. You wear your heart on your sleeve. You show the world who I am. If you like a certain person, you want to dress like them. You want to have hairstyle like them. Why is it that you're following these people when the best of creation is there for us? It's such a shame. Nobody knows hardly any du'as. Nobody wants to follow any of his shamail. It's absolutely shocking. Wallahi lazim, I look around, I find Muslims don't know anything today. It's sad. One Jewish person said to me in University of Leeds, he said to me, there are millions of sunnahs of Prophet ﷺ. He said in his words, millions, so many, countless. How is it possible for you Muslims to follow all of them? It's not possible. So I said to him, are you finished? He said, yes. I said to him, do you do the following things? So I counted things that we all do. Going to toilet, wearing clothes, combing, shaving, whatever you want to do, yeah? He says, yes. I said, if I carry on, there'll be millions of things that you'll do in your life from your birth to your death. So you're doing them anyway. It's just that ours is a certain way, a method of doing it. For example, cutting your nails. How do you cut your nails? Right hand, this shahada finger, index, to the left, to the smallest finger. Then you start from the left hand, smallest finger, all the way across to the thumb, and then this. Nails are cut anyway, but you did it in the way of Rasulullah. Now you get a sawab. See, brothers, every single thing has a method. Why follow the method of the West? Follow the method of the East. Follow the method of the people from South, people from the North, people of other traditions and religions, when you have the best of the person. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allahu Akbar. This is not small, brothers. You don't understand because you don't appreciate Arabic. أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Beautiful, perfect example he was. Perfect example. The way he walked, even on a straight land, he would walk as though he's going down. So we should do that. It's a sawab. Or do you want to carry your jeans, Levi's down and walk like this? Right? The way people are doing it. So you get sawab of those people. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. Man will be with whom he loves on the day of judgment. Astaghfirullah. Who wants to be raised with this heavyweight boxing champion? Or with this football player? Or this model? Or who wants to be raised with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you want to be, it's not just by saying it. You've got to live that life. You're going to die the state you lived in. And you're going to be raised the state you died in. And you're going to be asked, and your fate will be accordingly. It's very important. We don't realize this. So brothers, make an intention that every dua that's related to me, I'll start learning it. And you learn it with the English translation, with Urdu translation, with Gujarati, whichever language suits you best, you learn it with the translation. Learn 4 or 5. The powerful one is the one that you do in namaz. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. What's the biggest thing that you do in your life every day? Namaz. The last dua in namaz, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا. What's the biggest thing you'll do ever in your life? Hajj. The best dua Rasulullah did when he did tawaf. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا. No more. Don't think of it lightly. Don't think I need millions of duas. Start with this. But put some spirit into it. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا should do something to you. Do you know what Rabbana even means? Rabb, atina, grant me, give me, fid dunya hasana, in this world, everything that's good. Allahu Akbar. What more do you need? And in the hereafter, all the goodness. And protect us, save us from the punishment of the fire, the hell. This is the most powerful dua in the Quran. Number one dua of Quran. And the number one dua of hadith is, اللهم إني أسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh Allah, I ask from you. There's many versions of it, others as well. وعبادك الصالحون ما استعاذك معاذك. Any word. But oh Allah, I ask from you all the goodness that your messenger Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked from you. See, you're just riding on his back, free rider, and he doesn't mind you taking a free ride. And he says, oh Allah, and I seek forgiveness and your protection and salvation and refuge from all those evils, all forms of evil. Don't just say, oh, this neighbor's bad to me or that job employer is bad. How do you know what else is bad that's unseen to us? If you use these jami' words, these wide encompassing words, it covers every possible evil you can ever imagine. You know, there's so many evils out there. We don't even know. Look at these words that Rasulullah was reciting in sajda. When Aisha radiallahu anha was fumbling and found his hand, feet, and she saw him doing sajda. He's saying what? A'udhu bi'afwika min iqabik. I seek protection, refuge in your forgiveness from your punishment. Allahu Akbar. Allah's punishment, nothing can deal with it except his forgiveness. There was a sahabi who was in Medina. He was walking around and he was saying, Wadhunuba, Wadhunuba, Wadhunuba. Oh, my sins. Oh, I've done so many sins. He couldn't fathom that he's had so many sins. How will he ever be forgiven? Prophet said to him, stop saying this. Say, Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. Oh Allah, your forgiveness, maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi. Your forgiveness is far bigger and wider and more encompassing than my sins. My sins are insignificant, even though they're very big, even though they're big as this world, even if they fill the entire space between sky and earth, there's still nothing compared to Allah's forgiveness. And it's your mercy that I am in hope of, not my good deeds. We can do Khatam al-Quran every day. We can do Hajj every single year and every good ibadah. Still, we will not go Jannah because of that. It will be Allah's mercy. And we need Allah's mercy. And Allah's mercy comes through certain channels, brothers and sisters. Channels. Remember, I'm telling you, channels. Masjid is a channel. Quran is a channel of getting Allah's mercy. Hijab and haya is channel. Beard is a channel. Shaitan and taswir and pictures clothes is a channel. You are blocking. Don't they tell you about codeine, these tablets that you have, painkillers, on NHS website, they say it's a brain blocker. Go read codeine on NHS website, it says it's a brain blocker. Basically, it's not a painkiller, it's blocking the signal of the brain going and telling you there's pain. So these pictures and these things that we have in our homes, in our lives, in our cars, and everywhere, they're actually blocking the mercy coming. That's why we've done hajj and umrahs and namaz and nothing's changing. You've got to get the gandagi out of the house. You got to get the rubbish out. So please, think properly, think carefully. These are the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam I'm sharing with you. The life of our pious predecessors was according to the hadith. They did not make up their own lives. From day one till today, alhamdulillah, we have this blessing that our lives, our way of life, especially the sunnah way I'm talking about, not any personal life or tradition or culture, the sunnah life is proven step by step. From my scholar, Hazrat scholar, their scholars, we followed all the way till the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not just the books that we have. Quran has come through this tawatur. Not just the hadith have come this way. But even our sunnah, the lives and actions, what we say. You see, when you become like this, Allahu Akbar, your life will be something else. And when you're not like this, you will suffer. Today, which is the biggest disease that's killing everybody? Mental health. Mental health, look around, everybody is suffering from Alzheimer's and all of these things. Why? Because today there's no peace in the heart. Mind is elsewhere. Mind has been nourished with something else. All life, we have been exposed to other things, intentionally or accidentally, things around us. And because of that, unfortunately, our lives are now closed books. Are like closets. We've got ghosts in our closets. We are worried, always stressed and depressed. I never heard of the word stressed and depressed before. But now every other person you speak to, they're all depressed and stressed. Yet they have cars, stressed. People had no cars, camels, walked, no stress. People have houses, they had no houses. What house did they leave behind? Look, Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi, who passed away. His house was small and like a mud house. Nothing there, kacha ghar. What did they leave behind? Inheritance like you and I have? Homes in Pakistan and India and Bangladesh and other countries? Homes here? Still we're not happy? Still we're saying with stress? Is it really stress? Is it something else? Ask yourself this question. We need to do this introspection. There is no stress. There is no problem. There is no issue. Look, Allah says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says in Quran that there is no grieving and stress and worries and woes. Don't need to do that. You will always prevail. Not only in the battlefield. Also in your personal home, personal, professional, family, life, every life, you will prevail. In kuntum mu'mineen. The condition is, this is the proviso. Provided you are true believers. You have iman. Real iman. Not iman is just by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, amantu billah. I have iman illallah. You've got to live that. That has certain requirements. A person cannot claim to be a pilot in an aeroplane, right? And then do things which jeopardize the whole aeroplane. Once he's a pilot, he's got to live a certain life, especially when he's in the aeroplane. Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, the father of Mufti Taqi Usmani, my ustaz, he says that he was once on an aeroplane and an air hostess came to him and she offered him some alcohol. And he said, no, I'm a Muslim, I don't drink. And she said, well, this is very expensive. You know, we don't give it to every passenger. This is maybe champagne, God knows what it was. But anyway, it's something very expensive. You should try it, a sip. You know, people are dying for this, especially in economy class, maybe they don't even get this. He said, no. I'm a Muslim, I told you, I can't take this. She said, that's not right, you at least a little sip. He goes, no, what to do? If it's that good, give this my share to the pilot. She goes, no, how can we give it to the pilot? The pilot's on duty. He goes, a Muslim's on duty all his life. Right? A Muslim is on duty all his life. The pilot's only duty for 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever duration of the flight it is. But a Muslim's on duty. Brothers, we need to be very careful. Everything that we do, we have to follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their commandments. Otherwise, there's nothing. It's not just declare that I have love for Allah, I have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but your life is in contradiction of that. You're not following anything. Where is it? Go home, look at yourselves in the mirror, and say to yourself, never tell anybody else, where is Islam in me? At least in appearance. Where is Islam in my dealings? Where is Islam in my relations? Ask yourself, who is unhappy from me or who am I unhappy from? Who have I not spoken to for a while? And who has not spoken to me for a while? Who do I owe something to or who owes anything to me? How many namaz have I missed over my lifetime? Have I made a plan? Yeah. Remember one thing, if you start to read namaz, which have you missed in your lifetime, and you make a plan, and you start to read them, and you die in this state, but you had the intention of covering them, we have husnul zan. We trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is a good chance, because you, if you had the life, you would complete them, there is a good chance that He will forgive you. Because we have to have hope in Allah's mercy. But if you never made a plan, never started doing any of these qadha, people have got qadha with them. Somebody said to me the other day, I've got 25 years of namaz qadha. He's got so many fast qadha, never did any zakat, never gave any qurbani, has had hajj farz upon him, God knows how many years, he's been a rich person for 20 years, never done any of those ibadat. Brothers, how much debt have you got on your heads? And then how many people are unhappy from you? No wonder you got stress in your life. You have homes and you got children, you're still stressed. We need to really, really, really think about this. Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam I'd like to share with you, which is very important that we should continue looking at the statements of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his traditions. Because when you look at his traditions, it gives us the best noble guidance, a best example of how we should live our lives. If we don't live our lives this way, we will go nowhere. It is from Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Usama bin Zayd. Brothers, by the way, when I say these names, there's a reason why I say it. These names are the names to be kept for your children. Please, the names that you should keep, I get asked a lot of times. And we come up with names that they want some funky name that no one's ever heard of. Why do you need that? Sahaba, every other person was Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Muhammad. They didn't get confused. In fact, some of the narrators of hadith, Muhammad, son of Muhammad. Right? And if you go to Uzbekistan, where I went to, and travel there, one Qabristan, everybody was Hafiz al-Hadith, and name was Muhammad or Ahmad. That was the time. And today people want to have names, God knows, Zayan, Mayan, Ayan. I don't know, I'm sorry if you've got those names, but it didn't mean anything to me. Yeah, you have names, you can choose any of the Prophet's names. You can choose any of the Sahaba's names. You can choose any of Allah's names and put the word Abd before it. Abdullah, Abdurrahman, this is going to have a meaning, a power. Somebody came to Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said, my child doesn't listen to me. My child doesn't listen to me, and what do I do? And before Umar bin Khattab gave that person advice, he said, let me ask the child. Right? And the child said, well, I don't have anything to say, but I just want to know, do I even have rights? And Umar bin Khattab said, yes, you have three rights. That your father should choose the woman that's worthy of being a mother tomorrow. Before he even, you come to this world, you should choose a woman to marry that's worthy of a mother. You should name your child with a good name. Because a name has effect on the personality of the person. And you should teach him ilm of Qur'an. See, knowledge of Qur'an. This is the real things. If we're going to choose these kind of names, we're not going to get anywhere. So I was saying the hadith is Usama bin Zayd. Don't worry about Usama bin Laden and all these names. Nothing will happen to you. Usama has been done before. The name has been around. If tomorrow somebody is Muhammad and the name becomes bad, doesn't mean we stop dropping using it. So Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu is narrated in the Sunan al-Nisa'i. It's a hadith there, and it's also classed as Hassan hadith. And he says that I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, I said to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that لم أراك, I have not seen you تصومو شهرا من الشهور. لم أراك تصومو شهرا من الشهور ما تصومو من شعبان. Like the way you fast in Sha'ban. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, look at the way he referred to him, ذلك شهر يغفل الناس عنه بين رجب ورمضان. That is a month that a lot of people are absent-minded. They don't pay attention to it. It's a month that comes between Rajab and Ramadan, which is the month that we're in right now. وهو شهر ترفع الأعمال فيه إلى رب العالمين. This is a month in which deeds, good deeds, are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe. فأحب أن يرفع عملي وأنا صائم. And I will love my amal to be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst I am fasting. SubhanAllah. These are hadith that we need to know. We need to learn. We should think about these ahadith. Why have these ahadith and we don't have no influence in our lives? Think properly, brothers. It's very important. Even now, mashallah, look, Rasulullah ﷺ didn't make life hard for us. It's narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says, Rasulullah ﷺ said, إِذَا انْتَصَفَ شَعَبَانُ فَلَا تَصُومُ. That when you get to the half point of Sha'aban, meaning tomorrow for example, then you do not need to fast. As in you can fast, but you don't need to if you feel you're going to be weary and weak and you will not have the strength and the freshness for Ramadan. Because those are the obligatory fasts. But fast if you can. Right? Because if you do this, inshallah, your soul, just like when you go to the gym or you exercise, the first day you go to lift the weights, all of you who've ever been to gym or done any exercise, if you've never ever lifted it before, you can't even lift 2 kilos or 5 kilos. It feels difficult. But the same person who starts to go 3 times, 4 times a week, he will start with low weights, high reps, and eventually you see them after 1 year, they do 50 kilos, 60 kilos. Why? They get their body used to it. If you can lift that weight, why can't you lift this weight here? Why can't you learn the du'as and the ahadith? We are being lazy, brothers. So many brothers and sisters sitting here and at home, mashallah, are experts in different fields. Yes? Alhamdulillah. You are labor, manual workers, you're skilled, you're professional. You've got some skill. Allah has given you some talent. So how can you be, ask yourself this question, 10 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 is something and 0 in Islam? Don't you think Allah is going to ask you in the day of judgment? Have you left just ilm to the ulama only? Is it not important? This much ilm is important for everybody. These three things. To know what is halal and haram is important for all of you. You can't be coming and asking me. That's your job to learn. Second thing, to know what's the faraiz and wajibat, what's absolutely compulsory for me to do. Number three, it's very important to know what rights others owe you and you owe them. Absolutely. If you don't know, you're going to be breaching people's rights. If you don't know the faraiz and wajibat, you will be making big sins. Haram will come from that. If you don't know halal and haram, what's your life? By the way, by the time you finish with these three things, most of the deed is covered. The essentials. So I feel today, there was a time, golden era, before the British came and took over and occupied the great India of Mughal Empire. There was a time that every madrasa, yeah, Lord Macaulay writes this in the Hansard, in the parliamentary debate, that when I went in 1832, he says, 1832, that's not too far, right? He's not talking about 500-600 years ago. I went to the greater India of the Muslims. And he said, I found no poverty. Today you go to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, as soon as you get off airport, they're asking you money. He said that time. You see, time should be getting better, not worse. Really. Right? So there was no poverty. And he said, I found no ignorance. Everybody was educated. They used to speak Farsi. They used to speak Urdu. They used to speak Hindi. They used to have the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Because there were no two separate systems of education. If you went and did chemistry and biology, you will learn Quran and Hadith with it. At least the essentials. Today they have completely divorced the two. Now everybody in this hall sitting here and everybody at home, guaranteed your children or your younger siblings are all going to school. Yes or no? Everybody's child goes to school. You don't want to deprive them of maths and English and science and biology and chemistry and physics and IT. How many of them are going to Islamic school? Why is it that you have made compulsory? Forget what the state is telling you. Right, that is a separate issue. You've made dunya education compulsory. There is no child in this country that doesn't do dunya education. But tell me the percentage, the statistics of the people who do the Islamic education. Why? Why have you left it a few people only? A few people who go to madrasa. And even then, the cream of our children, if they're talented and they're getting A stars, send them for medicine. Send them for law. And the one that doesn't work, send him to madrasa. He's getting C's and E's and D's and F's. Oh, he'll go madrasa. Illa mashallah, mashallah. There's some good ones that come as well. But I've seen, this is a bright son of mine. He's doing medicine. What about this person could have been Hafiz of Quran? Can you imagine a person who is absolutely acing all the GCSEs and A levels and degrees? What that person would be like if they came to madrasa? What kind of alim we will have in our masajid and madaris? We need this. So brothers, don't think that someone else will do this for you. This is your job. To learn the ilm of deen of Islam. So I will wrap up, because we have taken a lot of the time. I want to finish off with saying that tonight is a stepping stone for Ramadan. Tonight, this night is a mirror of the Laylatul Qadr. If you are saying that I'll do it then, you're kidding yourself. You're not going to do it. If you can't do it tonight, you will not do it. Today, look, Saturday night. Tomorrow, Sunday. Most people have off Sundays. So try to spend the time. Mostly, most times, you will find When he says in the hadith that there are blessings, what does it say? Which part of the night? It says in the latter part, the third, right? End part of the night. This Laylatul Bara'ah, it starts from لِغُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ, from the Maghrib time. Allah Azza wa Jal is blessing from now. You don't need to even wait till the end of the night. It's, are you really wanting it? It's how much do we want Allah's blessings? If you want Allah's blessings, we'll make ourselves worthy of it. If you do, remember this night, destiny is also recorded. Destiny is recorded. What's going to happen next year? And Iqbal, Maulana said you should share some poetry. Iqbal, I'll tell you one poem of Allama Iqbal. Because I didn't want to say too much poetry. Because poetry, what it leads to is wah, 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 wah. And I don't want wah, wah. Tonight is not about wah, wah. Tonight is about cleaning ourselves. Tonight is about crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight is about blessings, praying. I want to instill the love of namaz inside you. Please read tahajjud tonight. Everybody make intention to do that. Inshallah. Say inshallah you'll do tahajjud. Everybody do tahajjud, please. 2 rakat tahajjud, inshallah, at least. And they say you should do minimum of 8, if not more. Everybody pick up the Quran. It's your Quran, brothers. The Jews and Christians are not going to read it. The atheists are not going to read it. The Hindus and Sikhs are not going to read it. If you're not going to read it, well, who's going to read it? Pick up the Quran tonight, inshallah. Do bismillah. Wherever you are, read it. Say to yourself, I don't need to do wrong. Long juz every day. I will every day at least turn the page. There was a person who died in India. Great person. He had a great janazah. Huge janazah came. So many people came for him. They went to his home and find out from his wife what was so special about this person. They said he was not even educated. He couldn't even read Quran. So what was it? They say that his one quality was in him was that he used to every day open the Quran, do wudu, put his right finger on the Quran and say, these are the words of my Allah. These are the words of my Allah. Because he's going to read, but he didn't actually even miss out on this blessing. This I heard from Maulana Abdurrahim Bastawi, who was from Dalum Deoband. He used to come here as well, by the way, in Nurul Islam Masjid, long time ago. When I was a child, I actually heard his bayan here. So he gave this, mentioned this story, that this person was just moving his finger on the Quran. Just by doing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him. Can't you do that much? When's the last time you opened the Quran, brothers? Be serious. Ask yourself. When's the last time you did some tasbih on your fingers or on a tasbih on a counter? Everybody knows subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. You don't know this? At least you know subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah akbar. Everybody knows durood because you're here to read namaz, you know durood sharif. Brothers, durood sharif is a power. You lose something, read durood sharif. You want something, read durood sharif. Every time you want something, you need something, you miss something, read durood sharif. Two things. Whenever I lose something in the house, you can ask my wife, you can ask any family member of mine. I read inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, and I continuously read durood sharif. And I find it. I've never lost anything, alhamdulillah, like this. That you can't find. You just make this a habit. I learned this from my buzurgs, ustaz, that you should do these things. Make yourself like this. You should read Quran tonight, tahajjud tonight, zikr tonight, inshallah. And the most important thing is cry tonight, brothers. Don't think it's below us because we're men. Every one of you should cry because our sins are too much. We need to cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him, beg Him for forgiveness. In your own homes, in your private corners, in solitude, when nobody's looking. Maybe your wives and family members, brothers and sisters and husbands, or all these people are asleep. Because there's no doubt of any riya, anybody seeing. It's just you and Allah. You see, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّهِ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ There will be 7 people on the day of Arsh, on the day of judgment, under the shade of Allah's Arsh, when there will be no shade except His shade. And one of those person is who? شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ Youth, like you, young, who grew up in worship of Allah. أَذَا رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ Man whose heart is connected to the masjid, Allah. Everything revolves around masjid. Their diary is masjid. Doctor's appointment, masjid. It'll have to fit around the masjid time. I am not going anywhere without masjid. This is the man who will be under that shade. رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اِجْتَمَعَا عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلِهِ Two people, or more than two people, who only befriend each other, not for anything else, not because I'm going to get some favor out of this person, not because he's got contacts or she's got contacts, not because she can make nice clothes or he can cook or he's got a relationship in this office, only because of love of Allah. You like that person, you make contacts, you make networks and friendships for the sake of Allah. You meet for that reason and you depart for that reason. And then he goes on and on. You see, this is hadith. رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ This is why I wanted to say this. رَجُلٌ ذكر الله خاليا. Man who remembers Allah alone in the dark night. ففاضت عيناه. His eyes start to run. He is tearful. This is a man, this is a person, a woman or a man who on the day of judgment will be very special. He will be not like this business class, first class, elite class. He will be in higher class, the highest possible. He will be under the shade of Allah's arsh. And other one, look at other one. رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ حَسْبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. Man who is invited. Today we go and chase women, right? People are going on all these sites, go outside and they're going, not in a nice way, but they're chasing girls, they say, yes, in today's language. Here in hadith said, man who's chased by a woman, not your riff-raff, I'm sorry to say this about anybody on the street, but woman, ذَاتُ حَسْبٍ وَجَمَالٍ, woman of highest lineage. It's like a royal family girl. ذَاتُ حَسْبٍ, and the most beautiful woman. Beautiful woman with the highest lineage. She is calling you to haram. And what does he say? إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, I fear Allah. Like Yusuf alayhi salam said. This is special, brothers, because a lot of us are committing haram. Whether you like it or you don't like it, I will say it, brothers. Nobody is free from this. If not actually doing it, watching it somewhere. They did statistics. Today, the biggest disease in people, in Muslims and our countries, is watching pornography. I will say it on this chair here to you, brothers. If you don't stop yourself from this, it's the biggest zina out there. And there's statistics that this country is highest and second and third. And if you look at those country statistics, is this. And look at the highest channel that makes porn is Pornhub. And who is the owner of Pornhub? A rabbi from America. Jewish rabbi. I don't want to sound be called anti-Semitic or anything like this. But it's surprising that they own all of it. And when you look at the research and academic, it has finished men off. And women off. They don't want to marry. And if they get married, they can't have children. And it's destroyed you mentally. Your haya is gone. This is today's problem. Today's problem is not small things I'm talking to you. This TikTok and all of these things, you need to be very careful. So all of this, brothers, if you are into this, do today, tonight. Otherwise, you won't be forgiven. Tonight, do tawbah from all of this. And say, I will never, ever do this. It's very important, brothers. A woman inviting you, you say no. Let alone you going out there and doing haram. Yeah? Very important, brothers, that we look at. رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَّقَةٍ حَتَّى لَا يَعْلَمُ شِمَالُ مَا يُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. Man who gives sadaqah, charity in such a manner. Charity is not just wealth only. Does charity of any kind. So much so, this is figuratively and literally meant that his left hand doesn't know what his right hand has given. That nobody should know. You should don't do it and remind other people and tell others and announce it. Sometimes you do it for the khair and for encouragement. But most of the time you should do sadaqah and good deeds and your namaz and zikr. Look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of his farais were in the masjid. Where did he read his sunnahs and nawafil? At home. There's a hikmat behind this. Because there is no chance of riyah. Farais is to show your shan and shokat. Right? And your ittihad. To show your unity and to show the enemy and others that we are here. We have power and awe. But really, the essence and the maghaz of salah is done at home. When you read extra nawafil. So brothers, I encourage you tonight, cry, plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek forgiveness. Think of all of your sins. Everybody knows what sins they're involved in. I don't need to say. Most of these sins are to do with our eyes and ears. Any haram, any debts you owe, any haram you're involved in, anything music you're watching and listening to, it's all haram. Lead's going to be poured into your ears. How are you going to take that on the day of judgment? All these eyes, all these tongues, they're going to be turned into something. Properties and lands that you have usurped over the people. If you've got inheritance, brothers, and you have not given the right to somebody else, this will be a big azab for you in the qabr. Muslims are worried today. They say to the sister or to the daughter, you forgive the right of the brother and the son. I hear it myself. And she has so much cultural and family pressure that she gives up her right. Or she doesn't speak. This is a big haram. These lands and earth will become snakes around your necks. This is hadith. Why are you doing this, brothers? What for? Rights. Learn from the ulama what the rights are. Do your sharia will drafting according to Islam. And you should write your will now. Why? Because you want to avoid the English law and inheritance tax in this country. You want to write, my will should be distributed according to sharia law. And get it registered. Get it testified. Get all the possible inheritors to sign it tomorrow. Avoid disputes. This is the way I say to people. If I have a wife, a mother, brother, I have children, these are the possible inheritors from me, yeah? I write all of them down and tell them all that this is the Sharia's ruling, sign it, it becomes a deed, witnessed by everybody. Go to a solicitor, get it registered. He'll charge you £10. That's it. Your will is done. You can now live peacefully. And in this, you shouldn't just write down, I own this many properties and this much I owe. You should write down, I have a mortgage, I have loans, I own this property, I have this much rent, I have this much income. Then you should write, I have this many namazes estimated not to have read. I have this many rozas. I have this many zakat, this qurbani, this hajj. If you do not do wasiyah, your inheritors, there's not farz for them or wajib for them to do hajj badal for you. That's just optional. You've got to write it down. Write your will. Two parts, financial, spiritual side. And all of it, inshallah, will become spiritual. So, jazakallah khairan wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I stop here. I mean, I can carry on talking all night. If you have the stomach and the stamina, I can talk. You see, I'm busy. This is my job. In the day, I start at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm giving lectures at university, supervising people. I'm in the court, either as a solicitor, representing a client, or I sit as a judge in the international arbitration courts. I've got people here. I'm judging people, looking at cases, talking. I don't get tired. My mom used to say, he is that washing machine that has no off button. Right, so I can speak all night, but I see that some people are stretching right leg, some are stretching left leg, so mashallah, you're tired. Alhamdulillah. But brothers, go home, refresh yourselves, whatever you like to do, you know, have a snack, have something to eat, have a bath, whatever you want to do, and brothers, get something done. In the first portion, the middle portion, the last portion, so where you get tired. Sleep tomorrow, inshallah. Sleep after Fajr again for a little bit. Not straight away after Fajr, by the way. Do your Ishraq and then have a little nap. So inshallah, may Allah give us the tawfiq to practice upon this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and forgive us all in this particular night, inshallah. And make the Laylatul Bara'ah a proper Laylatul Bara'ah for us, inshallah. And give us the Allahumma balighna Ramadan. اللهم بلغنا رمضان اللهم سلمه لنا اللهم سلم لنا رمضان وسلمه لنا وسلمه لنا متقبلا Allah accept us, make us reach Ramadan. You see, beautiful hadith here. Yeah? Oh Allah, bless our Rajab and bless our Sha'ban, but just get us to Ramadan. It's a street translation. Yeah, just get me to Ramadan, because you don't need to ask Allah for even for blessing. It's gonna happen. It's so amazing this month. Subhanallah. So brothers, let's do dua inshallah. Wa akhir du'a alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Bismillah alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr. Allahumma lakal hamdu shukra wa lakal mannu fadla. Allahumma lakal hamdu kalladhi taqul wa khayra mimma naqul. Allahumma lakal hamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa 'azimi sultanik. Allahumma lakal hamdu kama anta ahlu fa salli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammadin kama anta ahlu wa af'al bina kama anta ahlu fa innaka ahlu taqwa wa ahlu maghfirah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi bi 'izzatihi wa jalali tatimmu salihat. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'mati al-islam wa kafabihi ni'ma. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي نجانا من القوم الظالمين الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الحمد لله وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الله خير مما يشركون الحمد لله الذي أقالنا يومنا هذا ولم يهلكنا بذنوبنا الحمد لله الذي عافانا مما ابتلاهم به وفضلنا على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا فسبحان الله حين تمسون وحين تصبحون وله الحمد في السماوات والأرض وعشيا وحين تظهرون يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ويحيي الأرض بعد موتها وكذلك تخرجون اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على جميع الملائكة والمرسلين فارحم عبادك المؤمنين من أهل السماوات والأرضين واختم لنا بخير وافتح لنا بخير وبارك لنا في القرآن العظيم وانفعنا بالآيات وذكر الحكيم اللهم تقبل شفاعة سيدنا محمد الكبرى وارفع درجته العليا وأعطه سؤله في الآخرة والأولى كما آتيت إبراهيم وموسى اللهم احشرنا في زمرته واستعملنا بسنته وتوفنا على ملته واجعلنا من حزبه اللهم اجمع بيننا وبينه كما آمنا به ولم نره ولا تفرق بيننا وبينه حتى تدخلنا مدخله مع النبيين من أحبائه والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وحوضه لنا موردا اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا سيدنا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم حبب الموت إلى من يعلم أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولك اللهم أعط سيدنا محمد الوسيلة واجعل في المصطفين محبته وفي الأعلين درجته وفي المقربين ذكره والسلام عليه ورحمة الله وبركاته ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت وتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين اللهم أبلغ منا السلام كلما ذكر السلام وارتد علينا منه السلام والسلام عليه ورحمة الله وبركاته جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد 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 كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم انا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك ونعوذ بك منك لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك نعوذ بالله العظيم الذي ليس شيء اعظم منه وبكلمات الله التامات التي لا يجاوزهن بر ولا فاجر وباسماء الله الحسنى من شر ما خلق وبرأ وذرأ ومن شر ما ينزل من السماء ومن شر ما يعرج فيها ومن شر ما ذرأ في الارض ومن شر ما يخرج منها ومن شر فتن الليل والنهار ومن شر كل طارق الا طارق يطرق بخير يا رحمن اللهم انا نعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنه المحيا والممات ومن شر فتنه المسيح الدجال اللهم انا نعوذ بك من المأثم والمغرم اللهم انا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم انا نعوذ بك من شر اسماعنا ومن شر ابصارنا ومن شر ألسنتنا ومن شر قلوبنا ومن شر منينا اللهم انا نعوذ بك من البرص والجنون والجزام ومن سيء الاسقام اللهم انا نعوذ بك من الهدم ونعوذ بك من التردي ونعوذ بك من الغرق والحرك والهرم ونعوذ بك ان يتخبطنا الشيطان عند الموت ونعوذ بك ان نموت في سبيلك مدبرين ونعوذ بك ان نموت لدغين اللهم انا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الاعداء اللهم انا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم انا نعوذ بك من شر ما يلج في الليل ومن شر ما يلج في النهار ومن شر ما تهب به الرياح اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عن من سواك اللهم فارج الهم كاشف الغم مجيب دعوة المضطرين رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما أنت ترحمنا فارحمنا برحمة تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك اللهم إنا نسألك غناي وغنى مولاي اللهم اجعلني صبورا واجعلني شكورا واجعلني في عيني صغيرا وفي أعين الناس كبيرا اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك وسهل لنا أبواب رزقك اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم يا حي يا قيوم لا إله إلا أنت برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك ورحمتك فإنه لا يملكها إلا أنت رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير أعوذ بالله نكون من الجاهلين رب نجني من القوم الظالمين رب انصرني على القوم المفسدين ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للذين كفروا واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم لا إله إلا الله العلي العظيم سبحان الله رب السماوات والسبع رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والعصمة من كل ذنب والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا ضرا إلا كشفته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا جاهلا إلا علمته ولا مجاهدا إلا نصرته ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته ولا أسيرا إلا فككته ولا ضالا إلا هديته ولا غائبا إلا رددته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح يا حي يا قيوم هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم اللهم أصلح لي ديني الذي هو عصمة أمري وأصلح لي دنياي التي فيها معاشي وأصلح لي آخرتي التي فيها معادي واجعل الحياة زيادة لي في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لي من كل شر اللهم اجعلنا من الذين إذا أحسنوا استبشروا وإذا أساءوا استغفروا اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد، اللهم اجعلنا ممن توكل عليك فكفيته، واستهداك فهديته، واستنصرك فنصرته. اللهم لا تخزنا فإنك بنا عالم، ولا تعذبنا فإنك علينا قادر. اللهم عنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا، رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا، رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات، ولا تزر الظالمين الا تبارا. رب اغفر لي ولاخي وادخلنا في رحمتك وانت ارحم الراحمين. ربنا اغفر لنا ولاخواننا الذين سبقونا بالايمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين امنوا، ربنا انك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا. اللهم من احييته منا فاحيه على الاسلام، ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الايمان. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين، واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. رب هب لي من الصالحين، رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة انك سميع الدعاء. رب لا تذرني فردا وانت خير الوارثين. رب اوزعني ان اشكر نعمتك التي انعمت علي وعلى والدي، وان اعمل صالحا ترضاه، وادخلني برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين. ربي اوزعني ان اشكر نعمتك التي انعمت علي وعلى والدي، وان اعمل صالحا ترضاه، واصلح لي في ذريتي، اني تبت اليك واني من المسلمين. ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك، ومن ذريتنا امه مسلمه لك، وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاه ومن ذريتي، ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من خاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت، لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم إنك عفو كريم، تحب العفو، فاعف عنا وارض عنا وتقبل منا، وادخلنا الجنة ونجنا من النار، والفوز بالجنة ونجنا من النار، واصلح لنا شأننا كله. اللهم اهدنا بالهدى، ونقنا بالتقوى، واغفر لنا في الآخر والأولى. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم اجعلنا هادين مهتدين، غير ضالين ولا مضلين، سلما لأوليائك وحربا لأعدائك. نحب بحبك من أحبك، ونعادي بعداوتك من خالفك من خلقك. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وعبدك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وعبدك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون. أنت المستعان، وعليك بلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة وفلسطين وفي أنحاء العالم على أعدائنا وأعدائك وأعدائهم. اللهم ثبت أقدامهم، وسدد رمي يهم، ووحد صفوفهم. اللهم اخذل الكفرة والمشركين، واليهود والقاديانيين، والروافض والهندوس، الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم، وزلزل أقدامهم، وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم ولي أمورنا خيارنا، ولا تولي أمورنا شرارنا، وارزقنا حكومة صالحة عادلة ترعى عبادك وبلادك عما يوجب مقتك وغضبك. اللهم منزل الكتاب، ومجري السحاب، وهازم الأحزاب، اهزمهم وانصرنا عليهم. اللهم منزل الكتاب، سريع الحساب، اهزمهم وزلزل أقدامهم، اهزمهم وزلزل أقدامهم، اهزمهم وزلزل أقدامهم. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت، اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت، اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما أبقيتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا، ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا غاية رغبتنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا. يا ذا المن ولا يمن عليه، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الطول والإنعام، لا إله إلا أنت، لا إله إلا أنت، لا إله إلا أنت، ظهر اللاجئين، وجار المستجيرين وأمان الخائفين. اللهم إن كنت كتبتني عندك في أم الكتاب شقيا أو محروما أو مطرودا أو مقترا علي في رزقي، فامحو اللهم من فضلك شقاوتي وحرماني وطردي واقترار رزقي، وأثبتني عندك في أم الكتاب سعيدا مرزوقا موفقا للخيرات. وأثبتنا في أم الكتاب عندك سعيدا مرزوقا موفقا للخيرات، فإنك قلت وقولك الحق في محكم الكتاب على لسان نبيك المرسل. يمحو الله ما يشاء ويثبت، وعنده أم الكتاب. إلهنا بالتجلي الأعظم في ليلة النصف شعبان، المكرم التي يفرق فيها محكم الكتاب، التي يفرق فيها أمر حكيم ويبرم، أن تكشف عنا من البلاء والبلواء، ما نعلم وما لا نعلم، وأنت به أعلم، إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحابه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. سبحان ربك رب العزة ما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين 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 ثم آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
An important announcement, inshallah, tomorrow. The ending time for Sahri will be at 5:25. And inshallah, tomorrow iftari will be served for everyone, inshallah, in the madrasa. Iftari inshallah, will be served after Salat al-Maghrib tomorrow, inshallah. Jazakumullah.